I'm Jemima Kish, and this is Tech Weekly, brought to you from Newcastle. I'm underneath the Tyne Bridge, and I am on the banks of the Tyne right now, looking over at the Sage and the Millennium Bridge and the Baltic Arts Centre. We're here to meet some amazing tech startups. There's a fantastic science and technology tradition in Newcastle. We're going to meet some of those startups. We're going to find out what the exciting things are in this city, whether there's any decent networks, how much funding there is, and I'm off right now.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Marshall. I'm a lecturer at the University of Newcastle School of Computing Science.
So what's going on in Newcastle then? I mean, do you have a big talent pool of developers here? What's the tradition?
I think there's a very big pool of talent here. You know, we've been turning out graduates from the school for many, many years, and people like living in Newcastle. It's a great town to live in, so people want to stay here and spend a lot of effort trying to stay here. So,
and what are the characteristics of the local scene? I mean, obviously, there's a huge developers can be doing a huge number of things. Are there any particular areas that are really strong?
I think creative things, you know, interesting, good-looking, well-designed, good stuff that seems to come out from the area. I don't think it's anything, you know, particularly radical, perhaps, but just well-designed, good creative material. People are good at that in Newcastle, I think.
Are there any local stars or any local companies that have really sort of flown the flag for Newcastle tech scene?
Well, I think there's lots. I mean, I'd have to be slightly prejudiced in mention Thunk, or however they pronounce the name, simply because it was started by one of our graduates who I taught, and they've done a lot of good work and some very interesting work. But I wouldn't want to single them out particularly. There's loads of other companies doing interesting stuff.
How many links are there between the technical colleges and the universities and the industry? And how vocationally orientated are the courses?
I can only speak for Newcastle, really. The other universities have got lots of links. We have a lot of links with industry, but very much through our research specialities. I mean, we've been specialists in highly reliable distributed systems for many, many, many years. So we have a lot of links with the aerospace industry and things like that. But it's spreading out. I mean, we get more contact with the IBMs and the Microsofts now, who take our graduates and things like that. So we have a lot of contact in that area, but more at a research level than placing graduates there.
So academically, what are the really interesting projects then, perhaps the research projects going on at the moment?
We're doing some research in learning, group learning. We have lots of work going on, which I think most people would find really quite dull. The whole area of reliable computing, building systems that don't fail, or if they fail, don't fail catastrophically. And we've been doing that for 30 years, and so we've got a good track record at that. But we also have a lot of people working in biosciences, doing a lot of work with, you know, DNA crunching, searching databases, that kind of thing. There are a lot of people working in that. We also have the Culture Lab. They're doing a lot of interesting things with artists, and you know, we've had a digital jeweler at the university and new interfaces. I'll tell you the other thing, another area that actually could turn out to be very important is e-voting. We've got some people who are working security experts working on e-voting.
And one last question, links between the universities and organisations like the RDAs that can fund graduates. If they leave and they've got a great idea for a startup, is there a good sort of infrastructure in place to get them going?
Probably not good enough, I think. I think it's quite hard to get these things off the ground. Money's tight, I think. There's lots of organisations around here that do things, but I don't know that there's anybody quite in the northeast where you knock on the door and say, you know, I'd like some venture capital, please. I don't think that's big around here. I think that's much more of a London thing. Needs to spread up here. There's a lot of people up here with a lot of really good ideas who want to live here as well. They don't want to live in London. They want to live up here. And that is possibly a weakness, that we don't have that money that I'm aware of. I mean, if there's people want to come and give me money, I'm quite happy to take it from them. But I don't think that there's a lot of people doing that kind of stuff, really. Yet.
So there's a rallying call for VCs to head on up to Newcastle.
Absolutely. Lots of good ideas, lots of people who want to do it, and it's less expensive here than anywhere else, just about.
I'm Lee from Newcastle, and involved in a group called Super Monday, which is a group of all the user groups in Newcastle, bringing them all together under one roof to make an exciting community where anybody can come along and talk to other people who are interested in technology and using technology. We've got sort of the Linux user group, we've got a group called Refresh, who are sort of web designers, there's the Ruby group, the Amazon Web Services group. So everybody had like separate little groups meeting once a month, and normally the same faces were turning up at the odd ones, so we wanted to bring them all together And Newcastle University have given us a really excellent facility, which they've given us to a free of charge over the next 4 months, and we have to try and build up the community. So I'm trying to connect to all the other user groups and bring them all in. If you're interested, you can find us on LinkedIn, or we have our own website now, which is supermondaysomething.com.
My name's Herbert Kim, and I am the CEO of Codeworks.
So tell us how long you've been in Newcastle. I'm detecting from your accent that you're not a native.
I am from the Northeast, but from the Northeast of America. I've been in the UK for 11 years, and I have been in the Northeast now for 5.5 years.
So what's your background, and how did you end up in Newcastle?
My background's entirely in the technology, media, telecom sector. So I started out at Dow Jones working on what became the WallStreetJournal.com. I went from there. I spent some time at IBM in their internet division. It's a long story, but I then went from IBM to go work for Blackwell's and set up their online bookshop. I then did the same thing again for Bertelsmann on BOL.com. And then I went from there to QXL.com. From there, I spent a couple years at O2. It was then BT Cellnet, but it's now O2. And then through a friend, I ended up hearing about an opportunity in the Northeast, in Newcastle. I ended up doing the interview, and they convinced me that it would be a good idea to come, and I'm here.
So explain what Codeworks does.
We work with what we call digital media and technology companies. We do a lot of effectively R&D, where we try to work with companies and sometimes our own ideas to develop stuff that we think could become some sort of startup or spin-out concept. And we've done that now. We've got 6 companies that we own equity in. One has already raised $17 million. So some promising good starts, if you will. The other thing that we do is that we run a couple of trade associations. One's a general digital trade association that's got about 275 company members. It's called Codeworks Connect. We also run something called Codeworks Game Horizon, which does the same thing, but specifically for the games development sector. And that end of our work has really kind of taken off. And we started last year in May a new very large conference called Thinking Digital, very much borrowing liberally from the TED format and seeking to sort of replant it here in Newcastle. And I'm happy to say it worked.
So it doesn't sound at all like being in Newcastle has been a disadvantage because of there's a very cliquey kind of venture capital set in London. It hasn't been a disadvantage to be outside of that. Has it been a benefit?
One of the challenges if you're trying to actually set up and invest in companies in London is that there's actually a lot of competition, even if you've got a lot of money, right? In our case, we're actually in a relatively small community. So our ability to find people who are doing interesting things is actually pretty easy. And more often than not, they find us.
And how about the local talent pool? I mean, there's quite a strong tradition of science and technology at the local universities. Does that make for a kind of rich pickings for developers?
Well, I mean, the total size of the IT community here, the digital community here, is about 38,000 people in the Northeast, all told. If you start adding in, you know, people from PC World and all this sort of stuff, right? So it's actually a relatively large amount of people. If you start focusing that down a bit, if you look at the games development sector, 10% of the UK games development employment population is based here in the Northeast. Basically, it's surprisingly large.
And if you were trying to characterize the local startups or the strengths of the local technologists, are there any particular trends in Newcastle?
Yeah, it's entrepreneurial because it has to be, right? And what I mean by that is that we don't have the advantage of, say, you know, large pharmaceuticals or the City of London, or i.e. lots of clients where, I mean, the base of what I would call the digital activity in London is really client service oriented, yeah, because there are a lot of clients there. So it kind of forces you to say, well, if I really want to be here, then I actually need to find something to develop that might actually not depend on there being a set of FTSE 100 companies at my doorstep.
And so who's really exciting? Which companies are kind of the stars of the local startup or technology scene?
There's one fellow named Paul Callahan. One of his employees was my former chairman, so I'm a little biased here. But anyways, he runs a company called Leighton Group, and they made a small fortune off the back of that. They got bought by VeriSign and things like that. And that's then gone on to fuel a bunch of other startups that they're currently working on. One called Four Projects that's doing very well. It's basically a collaborative kind of online extranet for the construction industry. It basically allows construction companies from around the world to work together on single projects, and that's doing huge business for them. They've just started doing some work around the travel industry. One of the companies, and I'll say that we're invested in, is a company called Eutechnics. They're a games development company. They have been doing this for probably about 15 years now. And they have focused on driving games, right? And they have an eight-figure sum of investment behind them now. So a lot of other people believe that this is something that could be massive, yeah. Potentially bigger than anything we've seen recently, other than the Sage Group itself, which is, of course, the very large accounting software company that's also here in Newcastle.
And back in the studio, courtesy of National Express East Coast, here's the latest headlines with me, Jemima Kish. eBay is to cut 1,000 jobs or 10% of its workforce in the face of slowing sales. But despite the cuts, the dot-com giant shocked Wall Street by announcing $1.3 billion in acquisitions, including two Danish classified sites and the payment service Bill Me Later. Google and Yahoo have postponed the start of their controversial search advertising partnership to give US regulators more time to review the deal. Rivals are furious the arrangement will give Google and Yahoo a 90% share of the market. Facebook is to set up its new international base in Dublin, joining Apple, Google, Intel, Microsoft and HP in the Irish capital. The centre will be the base for sales, technical and operations support for the site across Europe, Africa and the Middle East. And CNN's citizen journalism site iReport took the flak for publishing a story that said Apple chief executive Steve Jobs had been rushed to hospital after a heart attack. Apple stocks plunged 8% in just a few minutes, but the report was completely false. There's more technology news on guardian.co.uk/technology, but now, by the magic of the Tech Weekly podcast, we'll transport you back to the heart of Newcastle to talk to more of the city's entrepreneurs and tech heads.
My name is Kuba Handley. The company is Tayo Music, with an application called Fanbase Manager, and I'm the founder and chief exec. The ethos behind the application is to create an intimate relationship between artists, musicians, and their fan base. This is done via some cutting-edge communication tools, via MMS, SMS, video messaging. For example, a group of fans simultaneously who are taking videos of a gig on their phone could then create a music video from that, because it's all captured real time, goes straight online. And so in a time when music fans really kind of want to feel closer to the bands, or they, especially in the kind of independent scene, perhaps want to feel part of that discovery process, this allows, or the infrastructure's in place to allow that to happen, and bands to communicate directly through all kinds of platforms, personalized directly to their fan base.
You're from the Northeast, you've been in the music industry a long time. Why did you decide to do something online? And how easy has it been building a technology business in the Northeast?
Considering that I'm not a programmer, too technologically adept myself, that certainly proved, there's been some difficulties there, because I've ultimately had to recruit people that could take my ideas and my thoughts and put them into place online. And the reason I did it was actually born out of my frustration as a band manager and band promoter, and me thinking, wouldn't it be cool if?
And so did you recruit local developers or people from Newcastle University?
Absolutely, everybody that is within my organisation, Hales from the North East. I guess the big worry, or the biggest obstacles, were, as we're just gone into private beta, is how we're going to kind of like mass market and mass distribute this, because we've actually built this up on nothing. We haven't had any funding, haven't got any investors, and I've actually had at one point up to 16 people working for nothing, just for the belief in the project itself.
Is that a problem for the Northeast, though? Because somebody else has already mentioned to us tonight that there isn't the kind of venture capital culture that there is in London, and that's, it's too much of the money down south and not enough money funding people with ideas in the Northeast.
I agree 100 million%. I guess with the music industry as a whole, it's obviously still very much centred around London, but you're right, all them people that I'm meeting at the moment are all based in London.
Hi, I'm Kasim. I'm from a company called Cascom Limited. We're a sort of research consultancy based in Newcastle. Today I brought along an in-shoe pressure monitoring system. It's designed to be flexible, so it'll go inside your shoe and it's got 370 pressure sensors on it. So for instance, you could use it for sporting applications. If you're recovering from an injury, you could see you're susceptible to sort of pronation, or you've got a repetitive sort of heel strike if you're a sprinter. You could also use it for gaming applications, so you could also use it as a next generation of Nintendo Wii controller. So for instance, for a skateboarding game or a snowboarding game, it would be absolutely fantastic.
Hi, I'm Ian Simmons. I'm the Science Communication Director at the Centre for Life, which is the hands-on science centre and quite a lot more in Newcastle upon Tyne.
Okay, so explain what's on offer at the Science Centre.
Yeah, we have permanent exhibitions that look at human origins, the science of the future, waste management even, and then we have a big temporary exhibition that's just open now called Inside DNA, which we've collaborated with the Wellcome Trust and at Bristol Science Centre. This is particularly appropriate for us because we sit in Newcastle Science Village. The Centre for Life also houses the Institute of Human Genetics, the North East Stem Cell Institute, and other organisations that do research in genetics. It's the place where the first cloned human embryo was produced. The Koreans claimed first, but they were telling porkies. It's also the place where the first hybrid embryo, of which there was much hoo-ha earlier in the year, was produced. And we have the cutting-edge stem cell researchers there.
And you've got a big event coming up in March, I believe. What's on the agenda there?
We do. We've just received funding to relaunch the Newcastle Science Festival, which will be all over the city from the 6th to the 15th of March. And we hope to do something that's a bit different from all the other science festivals around the UK.
Can you give us any indications of what there's going to be on the technology front on the agenda?
Well, we're certainly looking at having a much more sort of fun with tech kind of approach. Hack your PlayStation and Lego hacking and circuit bending and things like that. And
any chance of any robots?
Oh, I'm sure we'll find something to do with robots, yes.
Thank you very much.
I'm George. I work for Unified Software. We're a Sunderland-based web services provider aimed at sort of the e-commerce payment processing market. We provide a set of software components, if you like, deployed as web services. These are intended to plug into existing systems to smooth the payment process for businesses. The web service model allows us to do things that conventional software can't. For example, we can operate a pay-per-use model, so small businesses and large businesses find us cost-effective, no matter how so many transactions they process. We chose to set up our business in the Northeast because, basically, it doesn't really matter where we're set up as a web-based business, but it also turns out that there is a real wealth of highly skilled IT people in this area. The local universities turn out some really top-quality graduates.
My name is Jeremiah Alexander, and I'm the ideas architect at Ideonic. We're a serious games development studio, and we're focusing on how we can bring innovation to learning. Graduated at Teesside University in Middlesbrough. I moved up here from London to study computer games programming, and I just really liked the region. I found that there was a lot going on, and there was a lot of support for digital innovation.
And how about funding as well? Have you guys had any funding yet, or is any on the horizon?
There is a lot of funding available in the Northeast. We've had grants from organisations such as the Arts Council to help with the purchase of equipment. And likewise, there's a couple of seed funds which are available to early stage investment potential projects such as NSTAR. So it's quite good for businesses who have an idea which has high growth potential but are not investor ready yet.
And are you at all worried about the sort of downturn we're just going into? I mean, do you think that's going to have any knock-on effect on very early stage startups who are quite sort of delicate, I suppose?
I think it will have less effect on the startups. I think that at that stage, as a business, you're still quite flexible in terms of what you're doing, and so you don't have many of the strict mechanisms in place which control the operation of the business.
You guys aren't dependent on advertising revenue, though, because you work on a commission basis, so you may be slightly better off?
I'd like to think so. Some of the projects we do are part of advertising campaigns, and so advertising budgets can have an effect on the work that we bring in.
Hi, I'm Stuart Vowell from Fluid Pixel Limited. We're a mobile development studio based in Middlesbrough. We develop mobile applications, games, for a multitude of devices, cross-platform, which we sell through Nokia. We've also got partnerships with Orange and sell through a number of online application shops. We've got iPhone development status, so we're developing for the iPhone. We've currently office of four people, and so within the next 12 months, looking to double that at least. Well, we set up FluidPixel specifically in Middlesbrough because of the support that was available and because of the cluster that was around. So because we specifically work with mobile devices, there's other support from other companies doing things in the web, but also on games consoles. So for us being able to work with them closely has enabled us to expand what we can do as a small company and look to larger projects with bigger clients.
This is information for passengers out of platform number 3 awaiting the 2038 National Express service to London King's Cross. We regret to inform you that this service is currently at a stand in the Morpeth area. As yet, we are unaware of the extent of the delay and the reason why of the delay.
Well, that's it for another Tech Weekly on the road. Thank you ever so much to everyone who turned up with some brilliant ideas and some great people. And it's great to see there's so much going on outside London. More from Tech Weekly next week. And from Newcastle, goodbye.